Attention, residents of Milford, I don't want to alarm you, but there is a replicator in your library. Actually, it's a MakerBot Replicator 2, and it's not nearly as sinister as it might sound. That's a 3D printer. And to explain why it's at the library and what it means, we turn to David Brooks, who writes the weekly Granite Geek Science column for the Nashua Telegraph and GraniteGeek.org. Hi there.
Hey there.
You've used this 3D printer at the library. Could you walk us quickly through the process?
Well, this particular one is pretty small, pretty simple. I mean, it looks about the size of a microwave oven, and it looks kind of like a weird computer printer because it has a head very much like a computer printer that moves around like it. And basically what you do is you get a file, a computer file that describes the shape of the thing you want to make, and you give them that software at the library, and they load it into the machine, and it chuckles away to itself, and the head moves around and squirts little bits of plastic down, layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer, and they slowly build up and create whatever it is you want to make. Sounds easy when you say it that way, but it's not.
There can be some pretty fantastic uses for these kinds of devices. I've read articles about healthcare providers who could print out a 3D windpipe for someone whose natural windpipe wasn't working correctly. But at the public municipal level, at the public library, what are the most likely possibilities?
I suspect the most likely possibilities will be printing out cool little plastic toys and tchotchkes, which is exactly what I did. I printed out an old English T, which is the logo of the Telegraph, sort of about the size of my palm, and that was lots of fun. So it's going to be used mostly to play with and learn about 3D printing rather than to do anything useful. But who knows? I mean, there could easily be entrepreneurs that need access to a 3D printer to do a quick prototype that can run down to the library now and do it there.
In fact, the director of the Milford Library said of this printer, and I'll just quote her, "We're creating content, not just storing content." So having something like a 3D printer on hand at the library isn't just a shift in what libraries do, but really what libraries are.
Yeah, and this is happening all over the place, not just Milford, trying to sort of redefine the library as people shift to e-readers and e-content, and also as the recession has made the need greater for assistance. Although I believe Keene is the only other one in New Hampshire at the moment. There are a number of libraries that have 3D printers, and some of them have gone further than that and have other aspects of what is known as a makerspace, places where people can come and sort of work on creating material, literally as a proto-entrepreneurship, trying to help people not only learn so they can have skills in businesses, or maybe even help them create the business and the skill right there.
Now, you mentioned that you had created the Telegraph's T logo, and I did want to draw attention to one line you put in the column. I'll just quote you. "I admit I didn't pay the library the 80-cent fee, probably a breach of journalism ethics." Is this perhaps a 3D printer gate? Do you have to put a statement out saying something like mistakes were made here?
Well, fortunately, I have a legalistic out, which is that they have not set up their policy yet establishing their price. 20 cents a gram is likely to be the price, but they had not set it in print yet, so I was not legally obligated to pay it.
Ah, so you're not a scofflaw, you're an early adopter.
Exactly. There you go. You get in there before the laws exist, and you can do whatever you want and pat yourself on the back for being ahead of the curve.
That's early adopter and Granite Geek David Brooks. Thanks as always.
Okay.